Our reading this evening is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." And then it went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five, and 2 fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set them before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus feeds 5,000 here. It's a wonderful, fantastic reading. In the one-year lectionary that we follow, we have Jesus feeding 5,000, and then it'll go into Mark, and I'll have Jesus feed 4,000. It comes up once a year. I don't think you can outgrow this text. It is so full of comfort and so full of twists and turns and surprises and things that we forget that you need to hear it, and you need to hear it often. There's a lot of things that you could focus on within this text, but the one thing that we'll consider this evening especially is verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And then, of course, the rest of the text is going to be that then Jesus not only teaches them, he also then feeds them. So what does Jesus do for sheep who are without a shepherd? He teaches them, and then he feeds them. And what did Jesus do for you this past Sunday? He taught you, and then he fed you. And what has Jesus done for you all your life? He has taught you, and he has fed you. He's fed you with earthly food, but then he's also fed you with spiritual food, heavenly food, food that does not perish, the Gospel of John says. The Gospel of Mark has the kind of fascinating point, too. What is Jesus trying to do at the beginning of the text? It almost seems like he's trying to get away, right? He's getting away from the crowds. The disciples are trying to get away. I think the disciples would not want to go back ashore. But Jesus lands, he goes on the boat, and then he sees the great crowd. And rather than getting back on the boat, he decides to teach them and feed them, lest they be sheep without a shepherd. A couple other points about this text here, too. How is the place described in this text? It's a desolate place. Nothing around, right? They can't go to Food Lion or McDonald's to get something to eat, right? Getting something to eat is a long way away from home. It's a desolate place. What's that? That's right. No food bank here either, too. Right. It's a desolate place. Everything's closed, right? It's a desolate place. But then notice kind of this text, this kind of turn in the text, that once Jesus decides, I'm going to feed them, and the Gospel of John, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, he looks at the disciples and he says, you give them something to eat. And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, or the Gospel of John says of Jesus, but Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus himself knew what he was going to do. So Jesus knows what he's going to do. He says, you give them something to eat. How many loaves do you have? Five, and we also have two fish. Verse 39, remember this place was described as a desolate place. But then what happens? Then Jesus commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. What's happening here? Remember, Jesus sees the crowds like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. They're in a desolate place. They would be very hungry. The Lord is my shepherd, but I shall not want. What's Jesus going to do them? He's going to teach them. He's going to feed them. And he makes me lie down on green pastures. Jesus does this here. He takes the groups, and he makes them sit down in the green grass. Fantastic, beautiful text. And I was taught this, and it's been a really, really wonderful comfort for me as well, that Jesus feeds the 5,000, and that he doesn't decide. He could have rained bread from heaven, right? He did that in the Old Testament with the manna. The manna just rained down or appeared to them as dew or something like that on the ground. But Jesus feeds them with something that is already there, but he doesn't just feed them individually. He doesn't just feed the 5,000 all in one big group. He feeds them by 50s and by hundreds. And whenever you're reading the scriptures, you're always asking why. A lot of times you don't get the answer why, but you can see the joy and the comfort and the application of this too. That Jesus continues to feed and Jesus continues to teach his holy Christian church. He himself is present. He himself is teaching and he himself is feeding. But how is he often doing it? He's doing it by groups of 50 and hundreds. You know, small little groups. Who's the one teaching? Jesus. Who's the one feeding? But he doesn't do it all in one big group. He does it in kind of these chunks. So you're being taught tonight. You're being fed tonight. But how many other Christians are being taught? And how many other Christians are being fed? There's just a joy, such a joy in this text too. The meditate verse that I have for you is from Jeremiah chapter 23. I will set shepherds over them, our Lord says, who will care for them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. So here's Jeremiah's prediction that God himself will set over his people good shepherds. Now, secondarily, this is about faithful pastors. And what is the faithful pastor's message? It's never about him. It's never about the pastor. It's always about the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our righteousness, as Jeremiah says it too. But I think primarily this is a prophecy of our Jesus, where our Lord will set a shepherd over them, lest they be sheep without a shepherd. And that and how does it end? Because this is a fantastic comfort. What is the name? This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. And what's that getting at? What's the comfort there? The Lord is our righteousness.
God will look after us, you know, as let's use the congregation. He will watch over us. He'll make sure that we're fed to bring somebody in to feed us. You know, I think, you know, without a pastor, shepherd, to lead us and guide us, to teach us, you know, he's not going to forsake us.
Yeah.
No way. You know, and I was, you know, wondering about that at first, that when we don't have a shepherd, you know, to carry on the weekly devotions of the Lord, what are we supposed to do? Are the ones, we have faith, but do we have faith enough to sort of sustain until a shepherd comes? Because you'll get lost, just like them sheep, they're wandering. Mm-hmm. You know, anything, you know, with this sinful soul of mine,
yeah,
it'll wander off. And you know, do we sustain our faith?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there is, of course, the Christian responsibility to pray for them, pray kind of in themselves, and the Christian responsibility to do their own devotions and prayers and everything like that, too. But, Miss Shirley, no Christian can make it without a pastor. You know, you can't be your own doctor.
Right.
You can't be your own pastor. And that includes me, too. You know, I'm not my own pastor. I have to have pastors that I listen to and love, that guide me and absolve me and give me the forgiveness of all of my sins. And we as pastors get together to learn the word as a group of pastors and to be preached to and to be fed. You can't be your own pastor. You always need a faithful under-shepherd, too, kind of all walking hand in hand. Can't be your own mom. Can't be your own dad. You can't be your own pastor, too. Yeah, there is a joy in that, too. But, yeah, we were... what were you saying, Miss Flora?
I forgot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was here part of what I was saying anyway. I forgot which way it was.
Yeah,
going.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking the same thing, under-shepherd.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the under-shepherd is the one that teaches you and guides you in God's Word.
Yeah.
For us. Yeah, we can sit and, you know, go to the Bible and we just pick out certain things that is good and feel good to us, and we want to spread it on to everybody else to have them to think the same way. But then the under-shepherd, you know, it's a whole different text that would help you to think about it in a different way.
Yeah.
But you'd be thinking about just, you know, one way. And everybody's got to do it this way, and then you can't do that. They said don't do that, but then, no, that might have said that in that verse there, but then you compare it to this verse over here.
Right.
And then, you know, you get an understanding of where both of you on so this middle ground.
Yeah.
Together, because it will separate you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because that's when Satan knows that you're going to be weak, and he can stick stuff in there, make it sound good, make it sound right, but then it's not right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always be willing to be wrong in how you're interpreting the Bible, and kind of always gather together. And yeah, pastors always have to be ready to do that too. And comparing this scripture with that scripture, and at yeah, yeah. And it is. I mean, and that's one of the joys. That's one of the joys of just doing any sort of Bible study as a group too. Is I could sit here and tell you the comforts and the joys that are found in this text that I have found. And I can turn it over to you, and you know, there's a different joy. I've said it a few different times, but you know, Luther's has a famous quote that there's two sermons that the congregation hear. One is the pastor's sermon, and the other is the Holy Spirit's sermon, and they're not always the same, you know. And so, and that is a joy as a pastor to say, you really taught me this past Sunday, and I was like, I didn't really mean to do that, but okay, God be praised. Yeah. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. In the original Hebrew, the word is not in there. It's just the Lord, our righteousness. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our wisdom. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that God made Christ our wisdom, our sanctification, our righteousness. Righteousness is our standing before God. Who is our standing before God? The Lord himself is. Without the Lord, our righteousness, if it was Christopher, our righteousness, surely our righteousness, we would surely fall, right? But if it's the Lord himself who is our right standing before, if it's Jesus who has compassion on us like sheep without a shepherd, who comes and teaches us and feeds us. Well, let's rise and let's pray. Yes, ma'am.
On 44, the last verse, it says, and those who ate the loaves of 5,000 men. That one just talking about just men only was
5,000 men. So then, you know, if you include women and children, you know, then you get up to 25,000, 30,000. If they're anything like the Stouts and they got 5 children, right? Then they got, how many did Jesus feed? You know, or how many brothers and sisters do you have? Were you 7? Is that right? 6? Yeah, there you go.
Well, I was just wondering about that, just saying 5,000.
Yeah.
Some people would take that just literally as
men. Well, you know, whether that was 5,000, you know, of the manhood or something like that, and 5,000 men and women, or if it just counted the men, but that were fed, you know, and their families were fed too, and now it's 25,000 or 30,000. I've always kind of wondered exactly those sorts of things too. Yeah. All right, let's rise.
Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, O Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still, you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have had compassion on us, that you have fed us and clothed us, that you have given us homes and houses, that you have provided us the health that we have, that you have provided for all of the needs that we have of our body, even as shepherds provide for the needs of the body of their sheep. But we also thank you that you have also not left us as sheep without a shepherd in our soul, that you have taught us what we should be protected from in the sin and the temptations that come in our sinful flesh and the devil and the world, but that you also teach us that you are our righteousness and our peace and our sanctification. Grant us your Holy Spirit again, that we might believe your promises and confess that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, that even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, for you are with us. Hear us as we pray for fellow sheep of your flock, both in this congregation and all throughout your one holy Christian and apostolic church. Hear us as we pray for all those sheep who have gone astray, that you would gather them all together into your one holy flock, and all those that we now name with hearts and voices. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.